From our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is from our gospel lesson, these words of Matthew. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" One of the common themes in the Old Testament, in the history of Israel, is that God does not always act in ways that people expect. When God delivered Israel from slavery, he chose Moses, not while he was the exalted prince in Egypt, but when he was reduced to working as a shepherd. When God delivered Israel from the Midianites, he chose Gideon, the least important member of the least important clan of Israel. When God delivered Israel from Goliath, it was not by a large army, it was not by a fierce warrior, but by David, a shepherd with a sling. And when God spoke to Elijah on Mount Horeb, it was not in the wind and the earthquake or fire, but in that still, small voice. So today we see that when God would bring about his ultimate deliverance for his people, it would be in a way that was not expected. At the time of Christ, Israel expected God to act in certain ways. The people expected God's reign to come in a way that was irresistible, powerful. There was one group known as the Zealots, who expected deliverance from Roman occupation and a return of Israel to its political independence. The Essenes, another group at the time of Jesus or thereabouts, expected that eschatological judgment to occur where all sinners inside and outside of Israel would face condemnation and judgment, and the righteous would be glorified. Throughout the history of Israel, and Israel of Jesus' day, expected that when Messiah would come, God would restore Israel to its former glory. And we can hear that as we read the New Testament. Some of those words come from Jesus' own disciples. But today, we hear about John the Baptist. What were his expectations of the Messiah? John's message out in the wilderness was one of repentance, but there was also a message of judgment from John the Baptist. He pointed to the one following him. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. In those words, there is judgment, a sense of judgment. Now, the question is, did John expect this judgment to happen in his own lifetime? God picked this time, when the time had fully come, to send his only begotten Son into the world, to break into the world, to reestablish his kingdom. And in that way, in the person of Jesus, God acted in an unexpected way. As we look, we can see that the proclamation of Jesus, the good news of the kingdom, was not irresistible. On the one hand, we have the demons and the forces of nature that did obey Jesus' word and command. Yet many of his people who followed him, did not believe. They turned away. They rejected that word. Jesus wasn't surprised because he was the one who gives us the parable of the sower. And remember the seed, how it was sown? It was not very fruitful, was it? We had the thorny ground, the hard path, the rocky ground, all of which choked out that word. That word could be rejected. Not only could it be rejected, but that word would come with the kingdom that would continue violence. And so today we find John the Baptist, the messenger that was foretold in the Old Testament to prepare the way of the Lord. Where is he? He's in prison. And we know the rest of the story for John the Baptist. He would be killed. And Jesus himself, not only was his word rejected, but he himself suffered violence. Good Friday, all the torture that was put upon him, and ultimately the cross, suffering that death. And we have those words of Jesus as he talked to his own disciples and said to them that their lot in life would be similar, that they would suffer for the sake of the gospel, and indeed many of those apostles were martyred. In a verse following our text, Jesus says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence." But as we look, take a step back, we can see throughout Scripture, God's messengers have suffered persecution and even death. And that continued on even with the early church. Several days ago, if you have a liturgical calendar, you notice that December 13th is Saint Lucia. And we all have that image of the young girls dressed in white with the wreath with the candles in their hair. I'm not sure where that comes from. But the truth is that Lucia was an early Christian martyr, suffering death by the sword in the year 304. Violence against believers continues even to this day. Around the world, there are Christians who are suffering because of their faith. Even as we gather today in this relatively safe space. And so we might ask that question, where is that judgment that John spoke about? Where is the reign of the kingdom of God? John is sitting in prison waiting for the executioner. Where is that great kingdom? So what about us? What do we expect from God in relationship to the world, the forces of evil that surround us, and especially when it comes to death itself? Where is the kingdom of God today? So we could ask that same question that John asked. Is Jesus the one who is coming, or should we look for another? But we need to look at Jesus' words, at his answer to John. He points to the gospel, the good news. God indeed acts in very unexpected ways. We call that grace. That's how God acts. He looks upon us with mercy and kindness. We look at those words from our Isaiah passage this morning. Comfort, comfort, ye my people. That's the message of our God today. And this grace comes to us in the humble service of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Israel's problem and our problem and the world's problem is really easy to diagnose. Sin and rebellion against God. Those miracles that Jesus pointed to, those signs, the blind receiving their sight, the lame walking, the lepers being cleansed, the deaf hearing, the dead raised, and the poor being good news or gospeled. Those are signs that Jesus has come into this world, that God has broken into this world to undo sin and all its horrible effects in this world. As we look at Scripture, we see the connections between the Old Testament and Jesus. And we kind of scratch our heads and wonder, well, why did people miss it? They should have expected the Messiah because the signs were right there in the prophets. They point to something greater. They point to the coming one who would be the suffering servant, the one who would suffer and die, who would become the ransom for all mankind, that God would save Israel and all people through Jesus' suffering and death is probably the most unexpected event in the history of mankind. Most unexpected and most wonderful. As we see the decorations and the whole festivities around this time of the year, focus on that wonderful event. God sending his Son to redeem the world. For those to whom God's reign in Jesus comes, there is now forgiveness, life, and salvation. The least in the kingdom of heaven is the greatest, because those who are in the kingdom experience God's saving grace now. So where is this kingdom? Where is God's kingdom today? God reveals his kingdom of grace in his word that proclaims salvation by grace through faith. He reveals his kingdom in the sacraments, in the grace that is hidden in the plain water of baptism. His kingdom is revealed in the simple bread and wine of the Eucharist. God's kingdom is here. It is in this place. The kingdom of God, with all of its majesty, with all of its glory, with all of its splendor, will be revealed to us on that last day when he returns to restore all things. On that day, the judgment foretold by John will come to pass, and with it, terror for the unbeliever, those who have rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. But on that day, God's people will experience that full restoration where the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the dead raised to eternal life. Today we are encouraged by Jesus' words as he responded to John. And we reflect upon John the Baptist, and we hear those words of confession as he saw Jesus: "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Truly, the Lamb of God comes in the person of Jesus, and we can expect him to restore us through the announcement of the good news: your sins are forgiven. And we look forward to that day, our day of full restoration in the new heavens and the new earth, when he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.